In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be seated. These are really wonderful passages of scriptures that we have this morning. They're all about grace, amazing grace. And the collect is so beautiful when it speaks of we have to be running to accept his promises. In other words, we have to be stretched to receive his grace. He offers it to us, but then the ball is in our court, and then we have to have the humility to receive it. And so many are too proud to receive grace. Hence the spectacle we see all around us today in our fallen world. Grace. Isaiah sings of the transcendent majesty of God. Transcendence, that's the vertical aspect of our religion. We believe in transcendence. I dwell in the high and holy place. But we also believe in immanence. That's the horizontal. But also of him who has a humble and contrite heart. And of course, we see described in the transcendence and the immanence is in the form of a cross. Because Christ holds together the transcendence of the Father God and the immanence of God the Son. So that shows the breadth and depth of God's omniscience, the high and the holy, the humble and the contrite. St. Paul speaks of the reconciling concern of God for all the peoples of the earth, those outside the pale of Judaism, strangers brought near by the grace of Christ, bringing peace to those who were near and to those who were far off, all now having access to the Spirit. And finally, St. Mark, giving us the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It is a story of Christ's compassion and also of his supernatural identity. If it were just a matter of compassion, he could just open a soup kitchen. But it has to do with, again, the grace of God. So they were tired, they were hungry, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And of course, Christ is the good shepherd. And the apostles went to a lonely place. I love that phrase. To rest and be still. And I love that idea that most of the trouble in this world is made by people who can't sit still for 10 minutes. So they were quiet, and they listened. And this is a form of a Eucharistic action in the feeding of the 5,000. There's our Lord's teaching. He's preaching the Word of God, and then he takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. And that is exactly the same thing we do here, week after week, in this holy place. We take, we bless, we break, and we give. And again, this is a story of God's grace, because they gave him what pitiful little thing they had to offer, 5 loaves and 2 fish. But they had the humility and the grace to give him that offering. And what did he do? He accepted it and he magnified it through a miracle. And there was enough food to feed over 5,000 people. That's exactly what we do when we come here, week by week. We offer God ourselves, our souls. We offer him our sorrow for our sins. We offer him ourselves, our souls and body. And what does he do? He accepts our offering and he magnifies it. And he gives us back so much more than we give him. And it's the grace of God, the help of God, the supernatural help of God that helps us to be more than we are without it. So Christ is bringing wholeness into the world, reconciliation between Jew and Gentile, and between the individual and the body of Christ. So they go to the lonely place and the miracle occurs and the people are filled with God's grace. This offering is at the heart of our Christian tradition. Throughout history, God initiates, he gives, he offers, he creates. And then with varying degrees of success, we are called to respond. We are called to respond to his initiative of love. Sometimes we have accepted his offering. Sometimes we have ignored it. And sadly, sometimes we have rejected it. This offering of God begins in creation, continues through the covenants down the ages, is enhanced and fleshed out through the prophets, and has its culmination in the coming of Christ. In all of this, God offers life, peace, meaning, and purpose. He offers us life in a way to live. And this is what we desperately need during these difficult times we're living through now in this fallen world. It is a time of war, of violence, of hatred, of polarization, of suspicion of our neighbors. And we need to have this anchor to keep us anchored so we don't fall apart like so many are doing right now and succumb to the divisions, the polarizations, the hatred, the distrust all around us. He shows us the true nature of his peace, which is not the absence of strife, but the presence, the abiding presence of Christ. It's sort of like the eye in the middle of a hurricane. Doesn't mean the strife isn't there, but it means that God is with us God is with us. He offers us meaning in our lives because he knows us each by name. So we have a purpose in life only because of him and his plan for us. So Isaiah reminds us of transcendence, the God above all, thus within all, in the community of faith based on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. And finally, the Eucharist, the eternal offering of Christ to the Father. So just as the crowd in today's gospel, just as them, we are formed by the Word of God, the teaching of Jesus in the Scriptures, and we are nourished by the grace of God in the Eucharistic banquet. This is our style, our way. We have a high doctrine of God. We have a high doctrine of the faith. We have a high doctrine of the Holy Eucharist itself. And our watchword in all of these things must always be humility. What is humility? It is simply self-forgetfulness, forgetting our never-ending occupation of ourselves, preoccupation. It means getting caught up into something bigger than self, which is what happens to us as we worship. At least I pray it does, because that's the whole point. Through word and sacrament and psalm and hymn and prayer, forgetting ourselves, getting caught up into the marvelous grace of Almighty God. So when we come to the altar rail and you receive the bread of heaven and the holy chalice, I pray that you will be filled with his grace and be more than you are when you came in here this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.